Hi, welcome to the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Today, it's on Accurately Counting the Latino Vote. We have Rui Teixeira, who is a senior fellow both at the Century Foundation and American Progress, Dr. Matt A. Barreto, who's an associate professor in political science at the University of Washington, Seattle, and a founding principal of Latino Decisions. They'll be discussing how national and state polling has distorted the voices of Latino voters. So I'll let Rui take it from here.
Yeah, okay, thanks. I'm not going to say much. I'm going to turn it over to Matt pretty quickly because he's got a really excellent slideshow about some of these issues we're going to be discussing. I don't think it'll be very enlightening, but just as a couple of general remarks, as hasn't escaped anybody's notice, this country is changing really rapidly in terms of the composition of the electorate. As more and more minorities stream into the electorate, and every year the electorate becomes less white, and of course that's particularly driven by the rise of the Latino population. And it's also maybe starting to penetrate into some people's minds that maybe the polls aren't doing a 100% perfect and accurate job of capturing these changes. And it's particularly pertinent today because we're moving into this very rapidly. Are getting assaulted with more and more polls every day, and how accurate are they in capturing this changing America we're talking about? In particular, of these polls that draw samples of what they call likely voters, their guess as to what the actual voting electorate is going to look like. Now, you know, if you take a close look at a lot of these polls, you see some somewhat peculiar things. The Gallup poll, perhaps the most well-known poll in the country, has 20% of its likely voters being minorities. Other well-known polls like Pew and ABC Washington Post have come in with recent surveys, or they've had it around 23%. Now, in the 2008 election, according to the exit polls, 26% of voters were minorities. And, therefore, it seems a little odd that among likely voters today, we'd have fewer than we had in the previous election cycle when, again, we have these ongoing shifts that are increasing, for example, between 2008 and 2012, according to the latest government data. We have 2.5 percentage points more, not less, of eligible minority voters. So it all doesn't compute very well. What's really going on with these likely voters? Are we really capturing that accurately? And I think there are reasons to question that. And I think what Matt's going to show you with his excellent slideshow is not only may we be undercounting the number of minority voters, particularly Hispanics, in these likely voter samples, but we may not even be talking to the right kind of Latinos in a representative fashion. In other words, not only might the sample be too small, but it might in and of itself be a biased sample, and that has a lot to do with things like Spanish language interviewing that he's going to go into. So that's a set of problems with our pre-election polls, and then as Matt's also going to show, it's not even clear that once, you know, the smoke clears and the dust settles and we do all our exit polls, that the exit polls themselves actually do an accurate job of capturing minority voters, again, particularly Latinos. So this is a big basket of problems that it's not clear the polling industry has really faced up to and solved. In fact, I would suggest far from it. But that's enough for me. I'm going to turn it over to Matt now, who's really got the the raw material here, I think, to make the case and in a very compelling way. So,
sorry,
Matt, why don't you go to it?
Sorry to interrupt. Just before Matt starts, I just want to remind folks on the call that there is a slideshow paired with this call, and that at the bottom of the advisory, there is a link that you can enter as a guest. And we see some folks that are signed on or aren't signed on to the slides, so just wanted to let you know that, but you can go and take it away, Matt.
Okay, sure. Thank you. And thank you, Rui. It's a pleasure to be on the call with you today. I think that for most of you who have been following this election, especially looking at the demographic changes, you've probably been reading all of the excellent posts that Rui has been making through his various affiliations all over the internet, I know, and he's really been one of the few folks who has been following this for quite some time, not just here in 2012, but also in 2008, and documenting with data that the minority electorate is growing and that this country is changing. It sounds like a silly thing because we know that, but we do need to look at the data, and we do need to actually understand that there are these changes taking place. And I'm happy to be here discussing this with Rui, who's been one of the leaders in really documenting that and getting that out into the mainstream press. I will have the slides available afterwards. You can email any of us and get a copy of the slides for those of you who can't see them or aren't able to get them. We'll make those available. And I should say that this is a follow-up to two blog pieces that we have written at Latino Decisions, one that was written last week called Why the Pollsters Missed the Latino Vote, and one that was just posted just today and is currently leading on our blog that's called How the Exit Polls Misrepresent Latinos. And that was written by Gary Segura, my co-partner at Latino Decisions. And so all of what I'm saying is a combination of the work that Gary and I have done together. So with that, let me just get started. Let me go over some just four basic points that I want to start to frame this presentation. First, what we've already talked about. It is well known that the Latino population is growing. We know that this is happening nationally, but it's also happening in some key states. And I want to talk about some states today that are both well known as having a large percentage of Latinos, but also some new destinations. What I would say when it comes to data on Latinos is that polling data varies widely, but unfortunately it also varies wildly, and that we see estimates from a 50-50 tie to an 80-20 split when it comes to candidates. And I'm talking about within the same states in some cases here. And that's a real disservice. Anytime anyone sees polling numbers that fluctuate that much, they know that at least one of the two polls is probably not correct. And from my perspective, not enough people are drilling down and asking those hard questions. I see a lot of times a line in an article that says, interestingly, the Latino vote is not trending as heavily towards Obama as we might have thought. When in fact, the poll itself could be wrong. And I really encourage everybody to ask a lot of hard questions and try to get to the bottom of what's happening in the polling. We're going to assess today both pre-election surveys and exit polls, as Rui said. And I'm going to leave you with a conclusion now as a starting point that there's two key mistakes that they make. First, that they're underestimating the number of Latinos. They have too few Latinos in their sample. They're not seeing the Latino vote that we are seeing in our national daily tracking polls and in our state-by-state battleground surveys, where we're seeing very high enthusiasm and intent to vote. The national polls are underestimating that. And secondly, they have the wrong Latinos in their sample. So even if they're getting the correct proportion of Latinos in their state sample, it is not reflective of the overall Latino electorate. And I'll talk about that more in just a minute. But just as a backdrop, I think we all know that this is what the Latino population used to be concentrated. In 1970, Latinos were really only concentrated in states in the West. There were nine states in 1970 where Latinos were the largest minority group after whites. In 2010, Latinos are virtually present in large numbers in every state. There are now 29 states where Latinos are the largest minority group, and we have to keep our eye on some of these states that are in yellow in which African Americans still are the largest minority group, but Latinos are increasing rapidly, and we need to keep our eye on not just the Floridas and the Nevadas and Colorados, but we need to keep our eye on states like Virginia, North Carolina, and Ohio, where the Latino population is increasing very, very quickly. So let me start out by talking just about the pre-election surveys. We open our argument with the fact that pre-election surveys are making three specific mistakes when it comes to understanding Latinos. The first is that their sample sizes are way too small. So they're not doing a good enough job of getting this complex electorate and understanding them. They're usually only in the range of 80, maybe 120 Latinos are in their sample. With 80 and 120 Latinos in their sample, even if everybody's doing everything else right, we should put a lot of cautions around that because the margin of error is anywhere between 8 and 12%. And we don't want to make a lot of conclusions about something that could swing 8 or 12% in either direction. Secondly, the samples are not drawn to be representative to all Latinos. When someone says, I'm going to do a poll in Nevada, or I'm going to do a poll in Colorado, they get a sample. They go to a sample vendor, and they purchase a sample of all people in Colorado or all people in Nevada. They don't purchase a separate sample to specifically draw a representative sample of Latinos. When we do our polling, we're only looking to get a representative sample of Latinos, and so we start with that point. We make sure that the sample that we draw from as a starting point is reflective and covers Latinos across all the different neighborhoods that they live in the state. And almost no other polls do that because their first and foremost job is to get the state right or to get a national accurate number. The third thing that we talk about is that limited, or in some cases, sadly, zero interviews are offered in Spanish. with many robo-polling integrated voice recognition services. Polling is not available in Spanish, or if it is available in Spanish, it's only after the introductory material is all covered in English, by which point the person has hung up on you. Other firms use callbacks, and callbacks tend to generate a very, very low response rate among Spanish-dominant interviewers. And there's just a general sense that continues to be prevalent today that people who are Spanish-dominant are not citizens and they're not voters, and that's just wrong. So what lessons did we learn from 2010? Well, the first lesson that was probably the most widely reported was Nevada. And that was that across 16 pre-election surveys of likely voters, Sharon Angle had an average lead of plus three. It was one of the states that was identified as one of the safest pickups for Republicans. We know on Election Day, though, that Angle lost by 5 points when all the ballots were counted. This is an 8-point swing in the polls. This is quite dramatic that the polls would be off by as much as 8 points. We think that in particular, this was because none of the polls that were done in Nevada in 2010 offered surveys in Spanish. They all had very small numbers of Latinos. They did not get the correct percentage of Latinos who were in the electorate. That is, they expected Latinos to vote at low rates, and in fact, in Nevada, Latinos voted at high rates, and they weren't getting an accurate representation of Latinos. The same story happened in Colorado, also in 2010, where the average of all the polls had Michael Bennett down, yet on Election Day, he won. The turnaround wasn't as dramatic as 8 points. It was somewhere on the magnitude of 4 points, but still a 4-point shift in being wrong is something that's important. In both of these states, and when we looked very closely at the polling methodology and reviewed their Latino samples, we could not find any degree of representativeness of the Latinos in their polls. They were picking up Latinos with all English-speaking interviewers who happened to live in neighborhoods adjacent to whites, and so they had a very high representation of Latinos who were suburban, college-educated, and slightly more conservative. And in 2010, there were other states that weren't seen, where the same demographic issue was playing out, where the polls were underrepresenting Latinos. But we didn't see it in places like New York or California or elsewhere, because those were states that were trending Democratic anyway. So it didn't flip the election. But it didn't mean that the polls were correct. If you take all of the polls that were done in 2010 and take the 10 states or so that have very large Latino populations, there was a systematic underrepresentation of the Democratic advantage. It was just in Nevada and Colorado that it was so pronounced that it changed the outcome. Now let's fast forward to 2012. And this is taken from the blog post that I put last week. Here what I've done is summarized 8 national polls that have been conducted where I consider the sample of Latinos to be accurate. 4 of these are polls that we have partnered with Impermedia on at Latino Decisions, but there's 2 polls from NBC Telemundo, a Pew Hispanic Center poll, and a CNN ORC poll that was a poll just of Latinos. In each of these 8 polls that were all conducted in mid to late October, they come out with an average vote nationally, these are all national polls, of 70.3% for Obama to 21.9% for Romney. You can look by just eyeballing that there's not a huge difference in any of these polls. They're quite consistent. Now I've taken for you 2 polls that came out just last week that did report Latino numbers. One was a Monmouth University poll that showed Romney ahead, and another was a Politico George Washington University poll that also showed Romney ahead. When you pull the Latino sample out of their poll, they had Latinos at only plus 6 and plus 9 for Obama, when the average of 8 large national Latino polls had it at plus 48. If Latinos are about 10% of the national electorate, and you're putting their vote at only plus 6 or plus 9, but really the vote should be at plus 48, you're missing about 3 or 4 points that Obama has, because you're miscalculating his advantage among Latinos, and this is happening systematically across many polls that we look at. Let me break down the Monmouth poll a little bit further and show you this as an example. What I've done in this table is take all the data that the Monmouth University poll, which they produced, and I've just replicated it here. This is all of their data. As you can see there, they have Latinos breaking 48 to 42 Obama over Romney, and they say Latinos are 12%. What that means is that Latinos are giving Obama 5.8 points to his overall advantage, and they're giving Romney 5.0 points to his overall advantage. All I've done there is just taken that 12% share times each of their vote rates. So among Latinos, they're only contributing a 0.8 advantage to the raw numbers for Obama. And you can see the total numbers that Monmouth reports that Romney was up by about 3 points. If we adjust the Latino numbers and we put in the average across those eight polls, and in fact, Obama has a 70.3 to 21.9 advantage, what it really means is that Latinos are contributing 8.4 points to Obama and only 2.6 points to Romney. And when you add up those categories in the same Monmouth University poll, Obama is actually leading by 1.5 points, 47.6 to 46.1. Now, that's assuming they didn't make any other errors in their polls, and I note in my blog post that I also don't believe that the 82% vote for Obama among African Americans is correct. I would estimate that there would be 92% support for Obama and that their black numbers could be off, also contributing an additional point of error. We've gone through a number of national polls and found this exact same trend that is happening where they're miscounting and misappropriating Latinos in their samples. So what's happening? Let me walk through very, very quickly now just a couple of methodological points. The first is that Spanish must be available at first contact. Without having that available, Spanish speakers are underrepresented. What we recommend is that pollsters take their Latino sample, break it off separately, and only have bilingual interviewers dialing that sample. That way you don't over or underrepresent any language. When you contact someone, you can speak to them in whatever language they answer the phone in, and that's what we do. Low numbers of Spanish interviewers yield a bias. What you end up with is a more assimilated, two native-born, higher-income, and higher-educated sample. When you finally get your hands on the Latino data in these national polls or the state polls, you'll see that they dramatically overrepresent the number of people born in the U.S. who have college degrees and who live in the suburbs. If you're looking at a poll, one of the most important things you want to ask is what percentage of the interviews were conducted in Spanish among their Latino sample. If that is under 25 to 30% nationally, the firm is very likely using callbacks, or they're not doing any Spanish interviews at all. Callbacks are very problematic because when I call and I get a Spanish speaker on the phone, if I have to hang up on them and ask one of my colleagues to call them back perhaps an hour later, that person may be gone or they may be disinterested in doing the poll. The best time to get the representation and the most representative poll is when you have that person on the phone, you want to convert them to an interview. So as we say and as we preach, bilingual polling is essential. The first element is bilingual interviewers. We know that 40% of Latino citizen adults are foreign-born. And, of course, this varies by state. Some states, such as Nevada, have an even higher share of their adult population being naturalized citizens. Many national polls and robo-polls are in English only, not even using callbacks, but just only in English. And callbacks is not bilingual interviewing, and that's something that we've tried to stress, that if you do callbacks, you might end up with about 8 or 10% of your interviews in Spanish, but you still tend to dramatically overrepresent English-dominant speakers. Two examples from this election in Nevada, in a Latino decision survey, these are both polls that were done in October, about a week apart from each other. We found Obama leading 78-17 over Romney among Latino voters in Nevada. A Survey USA poll that was conducted for the Las Vegas Review-Journal found that Obama was leading only 52-44. This was our fourth poll in Nevada. We had been seeing a similar trend, and as we all recall in 2010, this was a state that had an 8-point error rate in their pre-election polling, likely because of polls like the Survey USA poll, which is a robo-poll that's conducted only in English. We found the same thing in Florida. We conducted, these are both Florida polls from October of 2012. A Latino Decisions poll in October of 2012 found that Obama was leading Romney among Florida Hispanics, 61-31. And a PPP poll that was conducted just a week after ours found that Romney was actually leading 49-46. Certainly, we don't think that these things are accurate. Again, PPP is a robo-poll, automated, conducting their polls only in English. Now let me transition and talk about what's going to happen after the election and just a few short slides talk about some of the issues that we raise with exit polls. And again, I direct your attention to our blog, latinodecisions.com, where Gary Segura, who's a professor at Stanford, has written a quite extensive blog post today explaining why exit polls often have problems. With exit polls, we're going to leave you with three key questions to ask, and they're slightly different questions than we ask of pre-election surveys. First, and this is the hardest one to get an answer to, which precincts were selected and how? How did the exit poll decide to go to these 40 precincts in a state? Because typically no more than 40 or 50 precincts in one state are selected, even though there are thousands of precincts they could be selecting from. How did they select those precincts and what are their characteristics? We think from our review, when we've been able to look at it, that they like to select precincts that they call bellwethers, precincts that often vote the same way that the state votes. That makes sense if you're trying to call the overall state, but the average person does not live in a 50-50 bellwether precinct. They live in precincts that are much more homogenous, often going 60-40 or 70-30 for one candidate. Secondly, what share of the Latino interviews are in Spanish? The exit polls are particularly bad at this. In 2004, only 5% of all Latinos were given a Spanish ballot for exit poll interviewing. And in 2008, it was only 8%. And so, again, this is something where they're not getting that opportunity for Spanish-dominant, foreign-born Latinos to be interviewed in exit polls. And finally, what are the Latino demographics? And that's what I'm going to talk about next. Oh, it looks like I have a little spacing issue here on my slide. Excuse me for that. Here's the education level among minority voters in the 2010 exit poll. And again, I can't give you this for blacks and Latinos because the exit poll does not have a large enough sample to break it out. But we've compared the census data for each state. And the first number you see is what the Census Bureau says among people who voted in 2010 who are non-white, what percent have a college degree? The second number you see on the right is the percent from the exit poll of minorities who have a college degree. So, for example, in Arizona, the census estimates say that 25% or 24.5% of all minorities have a college degree among voters. In the exit poll, they picked up 45% of their minority sample had a college degree. Colorado, 28%, according to the census ACS estimates, among actual minority voters in Colorado have a college degree. Yet on election day in that exit poll, 58% were college educated. A dramatic overperformance. And you can see that the same trend holds in Florida, Texas. And nationally, there's about a 12-point overestimation of college educated. The same trend holds if we look at the data by by income attainment, that we see much more higher income minorities being selected in exit polls. We think that's because of the precincts that they're selecting and other response issues. The final thing that I want to draw your attention to is looking at what the exit polls say about the vote and then comparing it to a couple of other vote estimates. So what I have here is from some states that in 2010, where we did our election eve polling, we validated that by looking at only the records of people who actually had vote history. And then we also downloaded every single precinct in every single one of these states. And we did an ecological analysis of them to see what the actual official vote results would estimate. Starting out looking at California, the national exit poll in 2010 suggested that 69% of Latinos voted for Barbara Boxer in the U.S. Senate contest. According to our survey that we did on the days just before the election, we estimated it was 85.6. When we pulled out everyone who did not actually have vote history, which was a very small percentage of people, it was 85.7 of all Latinos who voted in California voted for Barbara Boxer. This is a 16-point difference from what the national exit poll suggested. When we took every single precinct in the entire state of California and ran an ecological regression where we compared the rate of Latinos and the rate of vote, and this is a method and a technology that's used in voting rights cases and has been approved by the courts and was developed by a Harvard political scientist named Gary King, we get an estimate of 86.7, which matches very closely to our numbers and does not match closely at all to what the national exit poll said of only 69% support for Barbara Boxer. Same story in Nevada. In fact, same story in almost every state. I'll just draw your attention to Nevada. The national exit poll suggested that Harry Reid won 69% of the Latino vote in Nevada. Our poll estimated that he won approximately 90%, you can see there, among our validated voters with vote history, 89.9%. And when we ran two different methods here in Nevada, we got almost a perfect correlation between percent Latino and vote for Harry Reid that estimated that he won clearly over 90% of the Latino vote. And if you look at any precinct in Las Vegas that had over 80% Hispanic population, Reid was in the 90 to 95% range. And so there's a number of different ways to corroborate it. There's almost no evidence to support that 69% figure from the national exit polls. So I'll leave it at there. I know I've covered a lot of ground and left you with a lot of data points. As I mentioned, I'll be happy to circulate the slides and make those available. And at this point, we'll take any questions, and I'll turn it back over to the folks at the Center for American Progress.
All right, operator, I think we're ready for questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And your first question comes from Risa Camargo of Roxy.
Hi, yeah. So basically, wanted to know what this means in a sense. That means that the president's chances are higher in some of these battleground states, if you can specify.
Yeah, I think this is Matt Barreto, and I think for any of the questions, both Rui and I can weigh in on them. We've both been following this very closely. I think from my read that if the polls, and it varies, it depends on how accurate the polls are, but if the polls, and so the first thing is you need to go in and look at their minority demographics. You need to look at what percentage they're estimating, that those pollsters are estimating will be Black and Latino in a state. And then you need to look at the vote results. And if all of the evidence from polls of Latinos suggests that the Latino vote is breaking more heavily Democratic, but that one statewide poll that only has 80 Hispanics and it says that it's actually closer, then yes, in that case, I think they're completely underestimating the vote for Obama. And it depends on just how heavily Hispanic the state is. In states like Florida and Nevada, these are states with very large percentages, upwards of 17% of the voters will be Hispanic, and they're probably missing about anywhere between 3 and 5 points on Obama's margin. If you saw in Nevada, they missed it by 8 points.
Yeah, so, I mean, to put it in the simplest possible terms, it would appear to be the case that, for example, if you go to the pollster.com map of the United States and look at the margins they're estimating for Obama in these different states, some of them might actually be off a significant amount. For example, they have Obama up by 4 points in Nevada. Might not be as close as that. He might be up by 6 points. If you look at Colorado, where very tight race, and their estimate is Obama's only up by a point, he might actually have a more significant lead of several percentage points. Florida, you know, where most polls kind of give a little bit of an edge to Romney, pollster has it tied up about 48-48 with a slight edge to Romney. I think Nate Silver's site has it a little bit leaning toward Romney. Once you account for possible undersampling and biased polling of Hispanics, we might actually, you know, not be that close, or there might be at least a slight edge for Obama, and so on and so forth. So that's the direction of the bias. That's the direction of the problem. And so it's not out of the question that it's very difficult to tell for sure, and only know after the election, that in a number of these states where, as Matt points out, you do have a significant Hispanic presence, you know, we are talking about a potential bias, at least, that could be in the nature of several percentage points. And then we just can't parameterize it more precisely than that at this point. But I think it's definitely something to take notice of.
Thank you. And once again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And your next question comes from Antoinetta Padiz of LA Opinion.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering what's the effect on people when you have this kind of mistake in the polls. I mean, when you see a poll and you say Romney and Obama are really close in the Latino vote, that has an effect on people, and maybe I say, you know, I am not going to vote because my vote is not going to count, or I will change my vote. What would you say about the effect on people when they read the poll?
Well, I think that's possible, Antonietta. Thanks for your question. I think that, you know, there's a lot of confusion over polls right now, and I think as Rui said at the start of the call, there's so many polls coming out every day, and that's why we have tried to systematically look at this. In the average that I gave you earlier, we didn't just only look at our tracking poll, but we tried to bring in other polls that we know to be reliable to try to get the best average in the estimate. And when it comes to just the Latino vote, there's a wild fluctuation. And I think that if those numbers are reported without more scrutiny, then it has the effect of providing more misinformation. And yes, I think it's confusing and people are saying, wait a minute. For example, the numbers in Nevada were released that I cited in one of my slides. They were released like two or three days apart. And I think that, you know, that creates some sort of confusion that if one poll says Obama's up by 50 among Hispanics and the next poll says he's only up by 8, that people be, you know, sort of wondering, you know, what's actually happening. And more than the public, I think the campaigns are, you know, using these in bad ways to try to spin. And that's why I really encourage, you know, the reporters to really put more scrutiny on the pollsters and to ask those questions. You know, what percentage of your Latino sample has a college degree? What percentage of your Latino sample was interviewed in Spanish? To make sure that we have the correct demographics of Latinos in these polls.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Matt and Rui, for that. And as Matt said, these slides are available. So if you need to get your hand on them, please feel free to email me at lpereyra@americanprogress.org. Again, that's lpereyra@americanprogress.org, or just call 202-203-8689. And with that, we'll close the call. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.